music and song. It's just something about it, it lifts the mood. I would never be ashamed. You'd say to me, well, get out your guitar there and sing. That wouldn't bother me, I could do it. Like, I was always the one, I'd put myself out there, and Kathleen as well, as say, we grew up together, that's the way we do it.
The music, it fed us, it bought clothes for us, it bought our transport, which was our wagon, our horses, whatever we had to do. I remember Pecker saying to me one time, he said, if we hadn't the music, I would have seen many a hungry day.
I think the travel community at the moment are, especially the singers, and they're sort of chic at the moment, you know, that everybody wants to, you know, find out where this heritage is coming from. The traveller style of playing music is completely different. It's the same, but it's different.
I love you as I've never loved before. Since first I saw you on the village green. Come to me in my dreams of love. I love you as I loved you when you were sweet, when you were sweet, 16.
During the Voice of Ireland this year, one girl stole the nation's heart, not just because of her voice or because she was heavily pregnant, but because of her heritage. Kelly McDonagh Mongan is a proud member of the travelling community and the latest in a long line of singers and musicians. Of course, I knew of Finbar Fury and I'd heard of the Pecker Dunn and Margaret Barry, but what I didn't know was just how much travellers had contributed to Irish music over the years. I wanted to find out a little more, so I started with Kelly and her family and found myself in County Cork. Kelly lives with her mom, dad, husband Bernie, brothers and sisters, and new baby Bernie in a bungalow on a hill on the outskirts of Fermoy. I wasn't expecting to be greeted by another new member of the family, albeit with four legs.
How cute!
A little pony.
When was it born?
This morning. This morning, yeah. It's a falabella, it is, yeah.
What is it, a pipe on? What is it?
A falabella.
What's a fella bella?
Midge horse. Midge. I don't know what you had.
Can't even stand up with the wobbly legs.
When the voice had ended and Kelly went home, she was overwhelmed by the reception she got from the locals.
When I came back home to the house, I was drained out. I was so tired, I was at home, but I said, look, they did this, I have to go on, like, they're gonna make my appearance now because they're doing this for me, you know what I mean? So I went down, I wasn't expecting to be crowded down, to be honest. I went down, they got a guard's car to escort me across, it was actually the guard's jeep, it was, across the bridge to go down to the middle of the town up by the Grand Hotel, and there was about 200 people there, wasn't it, Mummy?
No way.
There was about 200 people or more, I said, there, and then they got me a car with an off-road as well to drive down behind the guard's car, like a sports car thing, behind the guard's car to go down into them, and to get me up singing, and I just thanked everyone, and the raven was coming up taking photographs and autographs, and the half of them was there, Kelly, you able for it now, like, you able for it. It's so different to being yourself and just being at home yourself, a single girl with your family, and to for getting married, to go on the voice, everyone, everywhere you go, being stopped, everyone knowing you and stopping you for photos and stopping you to sign the, like, your name, and it's strange, and then having your own baby, like, making your own family, it's experience unbelievable. You just can't describe how nice it really is, like, do you know what I mean? You just can't.
What have I gotta do to make you love me? What have I gotta do to make you care?
Me before, I was a very shy person. I was very shy in a lot of ways. Like singing, mostly I'd hide behind the door, go 50 different colours singing. Like, I was very bad at that. I was only before the voice, about a year before, I'd actually start coming out myself. Do you get what I mean? Like, actually singing in front of people. Because before I said, don't look at me now, or turn away, or I'd go and hide behind the corner or something. Do you know what I mean? So, in the voice now, like, my confidence now, thank God, has built so much. Like, I'm not, like, I still go downtown, I could go anywhere now, and I stand up and I sing. Even with the travelling community now as well, like, the travellers, like, everyone's so proud of me, thank God, and it's a lovely feeling, you know what I mean? Even people downtown, and no matter where I go, everyone's just, Kelly, oh my God, Kelly, like, and
is it a musical house?
My grandfather, my mother's father, now, Dr. Mercy Saul, Paddy Stokes, his name was. Like, he was it his brother, one, or mummy? Okay. Or your father's brother, was it your father? Okay. Your father, wasn't it? Yeah. He could pick up any instrument, like, she'd even tell you about him, and he could play it. He never got schooling. But even my cousins now as well, and my cousins that love singing, the Stokes side as well, they love it. Now, my father said love singing as well, obviously, but the voice is even, just like, there's one of my cousins there as well, kind of Stokes, he's such an entertainer. Like, he get up there, he don't care what kind of crowd is there, and he'll sing, and he'll entertain, and they're unbelievable. Even my own brother now can sing, my sisters as well can sing, but my sisters are very shy. And they're lovely singers. Yeah, they're girls. Look, I'm getting shy again. I'm saying it. But Paddy now, thank God, he'll sing. Like, if he acts and sing, he'll sing. Even my younger sister, Mary, she got on the hall and she sing a song better than I sing it myself, man. She's only five. She's like, oh, she's unreal. Her voice isn't normal.
The thing years ago was when people had nothing to do in the evening, they'd put the children to bed.
Kelly's mom, Kathleen.
When they put the children to bed in the campfires and they'd light a fire outside, and men and women would sit down and have a sing song. And it was lovely. And I think children, a lot of children picked it up from that and they kept singing and it went on and on through generations. Even though travellers didn't have education, they couldn't read, they couldn't write, wouldn't be able to do the alphabet even. They could pick up, a lot of them could pick up instruments, play any kind of an instrument. My father died having the son of Paddy Stokes. Any instrument you give him, he'd play it. And this man couldn't read or write. And he'd all the tunes, all the notes, perfect. So, I mean, you don't get that today. Things don't come naturally. It's very, very odd the time you come across a person that's natural and has a natural talent. It's a sweeter voice, sweeter music. It's real. All of that is lost. Even the storytelling is lost. And like you'd sit, I remember sitting around listening to my father and mother telling stories about people before them and how this, they do this. And that's all gone. So you don't get the time with television now and computers and phones. There's none of that. The storytelling is gone, the songs, it's gone. And they sang the way they felt and what went on in their life, they sang. And that was it. They had the time to do it because they weren't sitting in front of a television watching someone else's life. They don't have time. Life's too busy for people. And they don't give time to the things that's really, really important, which is history. You know, that's the best part of your life.
From one strong Cork woman to another, this is the voice of the famous Margaret Barry. She was born in Cork in 1917 and took to the road with her banjo. She sang for a living, making her Ireland's most famous travelling street singer. Then he got wet to
a widow, my lord. Oh, dear. Singer who is at the same time a person. Margaret is the voice of Ireland to the Londoners, and they love her.
If there hadn't have been a Margaret Barry, there might not have been a Kelly MacDonagh among them.
Yes. Tell me about Camden Town. It's the Bedford Arms is your...
Oh, yes, I'm in the Bedford Arms now with 5 years. And I'm singing 6 nights a week in it. 7.
Regularly?
Regularly. Well, that means Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, twice. What I mean with 7 nights means twice a Sunday. That means in the midday from 12 to 2 and then from 7 to 10.
You're doing a double day's work like myself.
Double day's work is right.
Piper and Mickey Dunn from the famous Blind Dunn's family from County Limerick had the privilege of meeting her.
I met Margaret Barry twice in my life and she was the ultimate character. She was full, can't you know, don't take me, but she was a little bit like herself. She was full of life, you know, and you got exactly what you saw. And you might hear Margaret Barry being interviewed now, and that's exactly what she's like. I remember I met her in Quilty. She did a gig in Quilty with a fiddle player. And I went up to her and I says, I'm Paddy Dunn's son. And she went on about times they had, and she was a wonderful character.
...to Ireland and America. And it says to me now, Margaret, it says, this is St. Patrick's Day. And I says, yes. The thing is now, he says, is every night Patrick's Night? I says, certainly. Every night is Patrick's Night here.
Musician and author Tommy Fagan from South Armagh has been researching the Travellers and their music. And his interest was ignited as a four-year-old walking down Hill Street in Newry.
I was first aware of Travellers and Traveller music at the age of 4 in Newry Market. Well, I remember clearly my mother bringing me down to the market and a woman who turned out to be Margaret Barry, the great street singer, was sitting in a chair singing, and I remember stopping and she had long clothes, which women didn't have the long shawls, and she had the long shawl, the long clothes. She had lots of earrings, you know, glistening stuff, which is a very large characteristic of Travellers' culture. I kind of forgot about her, and then whenever, you know, it was in my early teens, and I began to listen to Ewan McCall and people like that, and Freeborn Man of the Travelling People, it began to resonate. She never really went away. She was in the subliminal subconscious somewhere, you know, waiting to be discovered, rediscovered in my mind.
Ireland will be. And it's the truth fact. And Whitley tell you the same. They buy the ballads, the street ballads, and the fiddle tunes, just the same thing, and the Irish Tinker Lady. And they're all the time buying those records, and they, there must be some interest somewhere.
Oh, dear.
They wouldn't buy the records, would they?
And I'd say you'd be interested
so
too. With all
I am. It took me a few years to kind of recall that, and that made a big impact on me. It was awesome for a four-year-old with holding your mother's hand and looking up at this woman and with a head back and very few teeth and this strange noise that was song coming out. And then my mother giving me a penny to throw into the wee cap which I had. Magic moment.
I travelled fair and market and held me head up high and drink a pint of porter and another if I'm dry. I will mount a piebald pony and take him for a ride, as good as any cowboy with the banjo on beside. I travelled all of Ireland and knocked on every door to see a Smagrith Barry, and we had you here before. The kettle laid start boiling while the little children hide. I will wander on forever with the banjo on beside.
Margaret Barry began singing on the street and never had a problem commanding the attention of the busy crowds. A talent travelling pipers were already well known for, the most notable being the great Johnny Doran.
Johnny was born in 1908 to his father John Doran and to Mary Cash, and Mary was descended from the great John Cash. So Johnny was born in 1908, and Johnny went on the road at an early age and had a family. I think, I can't remember now, about 14 of them. Johnny made his music mainly from traditional music, but most travellers at that stage moved out from winter lodgings, and he would have lodged generally around Dublin, and he would take to the roads for the spring, summer, into the early autumn and back in again. Johnny, with the family, was parked up near Christchurch in 1947, I think it was, and a storm blew the wall down on the caravan. I've had the story recounted to me a number of times by Nan Doran, who was in the caravan that time, and she has vivid recollection of it. She said her father was bending down to tie his laces at the moment that the wall fell down, and just before that she had asked her father why he hadn't said his prayers, because he usually would say his prayers at that particular time. He was a very religious man, and the wall fell down on him, paralysed him, and he continued travelling with the help of his wife and children, and they developed in the new caravan that was provided for him, there was help to hoist them up so he could sit up and play the pipes. But the injuries that he sustained then, you know, eventually led to his death in 1950 in Athy, in the hospital in Athy. And before he died, a number of his great friends from County Clare, like Willie Clancy and a couple of Sean Reid, a few others, came up to him and put the pipes on him in the hospital, and one guy pumped one side, the other guy pumped the other, held it up so that he could play his last tune. It must have been a heart-felt scene, you know, with this great troubadour in his last moments paralysed in a hospital bed, and great, great people like Willie Clancy coming to pay tribute to him.
Thank you.
what he was doing on the pipes, Catherine, was way ahead of his time. Because he did that for a purpose. He did that because he was busking. That's how he had to feed his family. So the more was going on. Now, the man was an exceptional talent as well. But he was bouncing regulators and hopping regulators and doing stuff on his finger work like that. That's not even been done today, like. Now, Paddy Keenan, when he gets rolling, he's the same. Go back to where Johnny Doran used to park. Imagine waking up in the morning, right? Of a nice summer's morning, looking out at the sea. You know, and he could be there for a couple of nights, three nights, four nights, and he'd move on again, and he'd wake up in someplace different. And it was all, and I just think that the freedom that man had in his life was just, I'd love to have it today, you know.
Mickey Dunn's family were renowned musicians, but he was the first to take up the pipes.
I loved them, Catherine. I loved the pipes with a Jesus, I loved them with a passion. And my dad instilled that into me. But even when I heard the pipes first, back in the 60s, I was instantly hooked. I knew I wasn't going to play anything else. I wasn't interested in fiddles, banjos, all my people played. I just wanted to play the pipes. And I remember hearing Finbar and Eddie Fury back in the 60s, and it was way ahead of its time. And I just got into my heart and soul, and I just took off, you know. And then, of course, I heard Paddy Keenan, and I heard the Body Bond came along, and Planxty came along, and that sound, and you don't get it from any other instrument, only dealing pipes, you know. And it's in my soul, Catherine.
Finbar told me his father, Ted Fury, was living in Dublin when he met his future wife, singing on the street at Puck Fair when she was just sweet 16.
Yeah, my mother actually took my father back on the road, and they used to travel now only in the summer. Like, they didn't travel in the winter. My father had a place in Dublin, and of course his mother was in Dublin, and they had a house, you know, there. So he built a caravan from the ground up, you know, and he got himself a V8 car. I mean, when he went travelling, he went in style, you know. Anyway, she loved it, so she couldn't wait. This was her home now, you know. And then in the summertime, they took the road, and they met up with a great family then, with Johnny Doran, Felix. And my father would have grown up with them as a very young boy, you know, and he was on the road first. And of course, he'd gotten married, and both of them had gotten married, and they'd wives, and so they all decided to travel together. Can you imagine that clan? The colours of the caravans. They had horse-drawn caravans. They had caravans that, of course, my father had the motor car. He had to have that, you know. And he'd tell them what road maybe we might take, because he had a car, it'd be faster. So what he used to do is leave a sod of grass. He'd pull a sod of grass and he'd throw it in the middle of the road, which is the road he would be taking. Okay? So they'd come along with the horse and car and say, oh, Ted has gone that road, so they'd follow me over. So eventually they get to a place where everybody could pull up. It was like a big family. After a while, my father had spent with Johnny and Felix and Clare and, you know, Buskin and Clare, and this was another life now. He spent years with Johnny and bringing the music over there and, you know, wandering from place to place. You know, music was like radio in them days. It was taken by people, you know, wasn't no radios. People took them from county to county. That's how we learned the music, you know. And nobody read music in them days, you know.
I remember we pulled into Limerick, I think, in about 1964, 63. And we moved into a house. I was 5 years old at the time. But before that, we used to travel all over the country. We'd go all over Ireland. We'd go all over Munster. And the only way we had, my father never got the dole in his life. He never got unemployment benefits. It wasn't there that time, you know. So the only living he could make was from playing music on the street. And he would play at fairs, he would play at horse shows, he would play at race meetings, he would play at Munster finals, he would play anywhere there would be he would busk the queues of the Cork Opera House. And there's a great story, and it's true, that he was busking the queue in Cork one night, and the manager came out, because he could play classical music every bit as good as he could Irish. Mm. You know, and he would have this big queue, and he would go up along with his fiddle. And the manager gave him 6 weeks' work playing before the operas would start. And he did that for 6 weeks in Cork. There he is there, look, he was a gifted musician. There was five brothers of them there. And there was my father was Paddy, there was Michael and Christy and Joseph. And they suffered from a thing called cataracts. You know, I mean, there's nothing today, like, you can take them out and you can cure them. But back in those days, there was no people. So they were 99% blind, actually. Do you know what I mean? So all they had was the music, and that's what we survived on, believe it or not. And if things were bad, like if my father had a bad day of busking, we didn't eat. That's as simple as it was. And today, like, music is a pastime for people. It's a hobby. It's a lovely way of life. It's great. You go to the sessions. You have a bit of fun. But it was a way of life for them. I mean, there was 16 of us in the house. You know what I mean? And if my father didn't, if he wasn't any good of a player, we would have starved.
The key characteristic about an Irish traveller style is that it developed out of an economic necessity. And their lifestyle, those few travellers that played music for a living, were always trying to grab the attention of people who were going somewhere else. That's the important thing. When you go to hear music, you pay into your concert and you're there to listen. You turn on your radio, you're there to listen. You buy a CD or you download something, you're there because you want to be there. For travellers, it was the opposite. People were going somewhere else. They were at a football match and they were going home. They were at a fair to buy and sell. They weren't there to hear you. So they had to take traditional music and make it sound very exciting and interesting. And the first thing about Irish traditional music is that it's repetitive. So you get a reel, and individual reels can be very colourful, but the tune only lasts about a minute. So in the repetition, the traveller, two things were happening. The traveller had to say, well, how can I make this music sound much more exciting? Here's 10,000 people coming out of the Ulster final in Clonus, coming down the hill at me. I got to stop a few of them and get enough money to feed the family for the rest of the week. So that's a very challenging environment which to be in. So the inventiveness of what you hear Paddy Keane and Finbar Fury and all of those, I think arose out of those circumstances. They had to turn what was a normal reel and make it exciting, make it varied and make it arresting. And that's the key word. It had to stop someone in their tracks, stay long enough, be impressed long enough to put the hand in their pocket. And remember, during from the 30s to the 50s in Ireland, people didn't have an awful lot of expendable money like they have now. Even with a recession, people can still afford to pay for music. People couldn't. The vast majority in rural Ireland were still barely above subsistence level. So to actually put your hand in your pocket and give some money was a major, major act of appreciation and commitment to that music.
Today times are very different, and travellers rarely play for money, except perhaps for the Keenans from County Clare.
Jimmy, is it?
Hello.
How's it going, Catherine?
Hiya.
Lovely
Catherine.
To meet you.
You're
how are things?
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
This must be the famous Davy.
It is.
How are you, sir? Are you well?
Living in a housing estate on the outskirts of Ennis, it's a far cry from the campfire days of long ago. But this hasn't stopped this travelling family singing.
Lovely to meet you too.
Nice to meet you.
I could see the fire lighting through the window. Will we go in?
I will, yes. Let's you might in. As well.
Out of the cold.
We moved in here in 2003. And before that, we were on out in Glenina side, out Gort Road. And before that, again, we were in Tesco's, outside Tesco's, there for about 4 or 5 years. But the council left us on the side of the road because they said that my father used to always be out, you know, cleaning up the place and that. And they brought my father, like, they tried, you know, the lads tried to take him away from down there, and the judge passed down one day. Mm-hmm. Like, my dad didn't know who the judge was at the time, so we brought the court and that, and the judge said, I passed down there, he said, and that man, he said, has down there, he said, the ground is like a mirror, you can see your face, it is that spotless down there. Mm-hmm. So he said, I have no problem with them living down there. And we were down there for about 2 or 3 years after that, when we brought out the Glenina site. And from there on then we got the house in here. Travellers would feel like that they'd love to go back on to the road and live the life they had living before, where I love living in a house as well, like, because nothing can beat the heat in a house. Mm. Like, you love the summertime out in the trailer and that, but to come back home into the house is lovely. Like.
And is there a big music scene within the travelling community here?
There would there would be, like, everyone's interested in music, but they're more or less ashamed, like, to sing out, whereas us, we just wouldn't care, we'd sing in front of anyone. You know, if God came down in front of us, we'd sing in front of him. So.
The Keenans are regular buskers on the main street of Ennis. So myself, Kathleen and 12-year-old Davy headed off. Dad Jimmy dropped us off outside Dunn Stores. We got the amp out of the back of the transit and we met up with older sister Mary Frances.
I was born on an outside by it dearly did come back to me. My visions taught me. It often gives.
So the family, it comes from both sides, on my mother's side and on my father's side. On my mother's to be kind of singers and on my father's to be the musicians. So it'd be kind of something to kind of, you know, it's all over. It's through the years, tradition. Say my grandfather now, he's a brother Michael, God rest him, Michael McDonough. He's well known for his own old songs. He'd be out and say he was grew up, say, like with Peckerdone and Margaret Barry, all them kind of ones. Paddy Keenan, he inspires me an awful lot. I love the way, now I was never into the pipes before until I got his CD. And I listened to it. I absolutely, it just, whatever it is, it sinks you in. And the same with the banjo.
I love the sound of banjo.
Absolutely.
Peckerdone can turn inside out. Yeah. He's brilliant at the banjo. Absolutely. And I like the mercy of him, like.
And the Dubliners, they're brilliant. They're Luke Kelly and Paddy Riley.
I stood upon a fabric where I stood many times.
Do you want to go down the modern path of music, or do you love playing your traditional stuff and old traveller music, or where do you see your career going from here?
I kind of sing country and western, and say between, well, Beyonce's old songs, I love her old songs, and I kind of do them, a mixture of everything, from Adele to whatever. I try anything.
So I've just bumped into Oliver O'Connell here. I was reading Free Spirits on the way down to Ennis. You're involved, well, in charge of putting the whole thing together.
Yeah, myself.
And a big supporter of the Keenans.
Oh, yeah. Big supporter of the people in the travelling community who are playing music and singing, because they have done so much for Irish culture that a lot of people don't realise, because we always seem to get the bad side of that particular ethnic group. But there's a side that even a lot of Irish people do not know. They're wonderful musicians, they're great entertainers, and there have been for generations, because if you can remember, here in the 1930s and the 1940s, particularly here in County Clare, the only level of entertainment we had was when Johnny Doran arrived over the top of his hill, the hill in County Clare with the caravan. And their audience was always a group of people who were going somewhere else. They were either going to a match or a football game or a horse fair or something. So they had to compete with the noise on the street, just like we have here at the moment. Now, she has a microphone today, but you take Maggie Berry. Maggie Berry had no microphone, but she could go into Air Square in Galway and the place would be 3,000-4,000 people, and she'd fill it with her voice. They had to do that. Johnny Doran the same way. But I love what these guys... Here today now, Kathleen Keenan, like... There's no bit of publicity from what have you.
You just strolled up because you heard them.
Just, I always, when I'm passing here, I always stop to see them. I didn't know there was anything at all going on here today. But yeah. I always stop here, and as you see, I always contribute to their box. This is wonderful, you know.
And he's got his little album out there, Davy's album. And it's,
I have it.
He's only got three left. I think we started with 14 an hour ago, and he's selling them like hotcakes.
He's wonderful. He's wonderful, isn't he?
Oh, they're brilliant singers. I've heard them loads of times. You know, they were on the telly and everything before. You know.
I pay you for that.
Yeah, I get changed.
He'll go to the shop. He'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, you're very good. Everything right now. You have everything right, have you?
Yeah, 38.
Okay. 38. Everything is right. And God bless you. The boys about Nostrada, have you?
I learned that song. I don't know that song, but I learned it.
So I've seen today, with a crowd that you guys gather, you have to have power behind the voice for street singing. And that's probably taken a long time to get to where you are now.
I started first without a guitar on the street, and it was actually Key Street. People could hear me from the top to the bottom, just straight out. No microphones, nothing, just from the way I was.
That high, knee high, and we were all singing in the street.
Oh, I loved it. God, I just really couldn't get enough of it.
We loved doing it. We used to ask our father and mother, like, can we go to Galway singing? Do you want to? Like, we used to say, yeah, we love to go.
So we're singing there anyway, got used to it and people got used to us and we're still doing it. So
the power behind the voice is unbelievable. It sounds like it's coming from your ankles all the way up.
Oh God, I'd say that's, well, as people say to me, like, and they say to Kathleen, do you get voice trained?
Well, we
never got voice training because it's not that I, you know, wouldn't do it, like, but I'm not used to that kind of thing. I think we kind of trained ourselves during the years in the streets. So
I'd be afraid of getting voice trained in case you change your voice. Yeah. You know, sometimes it could change into classical or into a choir singer. So I just, you know, if I'm able to sing the way I am and I'm in tune, good and well live that way, I wouldn't get voice training.
My father rides early and makes his supper tea. He lights the kitchen stove and then he calls me. His days are often empty, nothing much to do. And so he tells me stories of the traveling life he knew. RTE Radio 1.
One man synonymous with travelling songs is, of course, the Pecker Dunn. Hailing from Wexford, living in Dublin and settling in the West, he was writing about travellers and their plight when most people wanted to ignore them.
This song, you know, I wrote this when I was 11. It's a concern of the County Clare. Not because I'm in Clare, but your man just came, the guy that the song is about just came from 7 miles over there, Maesta. He was a farmer's son. He was clicking Tinker's daughter. They were courting one, going together. They were crazy about one another. And they deserved one another. They were crazy that much about one another. And eventually they got married. And they reared a fine family in England. Now they're all contractors, all the sons and the grandsons. Big trucks and the Sullivans, they're multi-millionaires, you know, and they were taught nothing of in their own country. The father went away, Johnny Sullivan. And I knew him. And like I wrote the old song because I thought that much about him. I said, somebody should do it, and I'll do it myself. Tinker's daughter for along the road to roam. Sullivan's John, you won't stick it long till your belly will soon get slack. You'll be roaming the roads with a mighty load and a toolbox on your back.
Well, Pecker passed away earlier this year, and he was a sad loss. He was a very, very colourful character. Again, I had a Maggie Barry moment with him. I remember seeing him in Dundalk many, many years ago. But I remember seeing this figure, big, colourful and mysterious, and even slightly initially intimidating, you know, because it was different and we had our own prejudices, you know, and that. Pecker, you know, people talk about the Clancys and the Dubliners, and Luke Kelly and all those, and they were the better known troubadours who made Irish music a global brand. Pecker Dunn was making a brand in Ireland and in England, but he learned his trade just like Luke Kelly did, and practiced their music at night, and they worked the hard route of the folk clubs at a time when because of the troubles in Ireland, you know, the prejudices against Irish people, let alone travellers. So the guys at the double whammy, you know, they were Irish and they were travellers, and they survived all that. And I think it was because of those hardships that people like the Pecker was able to take it an ordinary tune and give it an edge that excited the rest of us, or as he did with Sullivan's John and other songs. And for people who didn't have much formal education, their wordsmithing was incredible. It just seemed to be an innate way to put the right word in the right place, and also, coincidentally, to make it rhyme and make it melodic. And that was just the big bonus.
Sullivan's John, to the road you're gone, far away from your native home. You're gone with the tinker's daughter, far along the road to Rome. Sullivan's John, you won't stick it long, till your belly will soon get slack. You'll be roaming the roads with a mighty load and a toolbox on your back.
He's a pure gentleman, Pickerdon. He wouldn't harm a fly. We'd be cousins now, like.
Yeah.
And the man was a pure gent. I remember he was interviewed on the radio one time, and he said to the lady who was interviewing me, he said, I'm a real gentleman's family now. He said, I have two girls and two boys. And at the end of the show, she said to him, and what are you today now, Picker? Are you a travelling man or are you a gentleman? He said, I'm a gentle travelling man, he said.
Well, few travellers would ever have heard themselves called gentlemen by the settled community, as their lives are continually overshadowed by discrimination and negativity from the majority of society, as Mickey Dunn told me.
There was discrimination. There was people that didn't like us around. People thought that we were aliens and stuff, you know, that we were after coming from space or someplace. But sure, I suppose there was a bit of ignorance, you know, when people get educated, other people don't bother them, you know. There's both sides to it. It's not all lovey-dovey. There was a lot of sadness, you know. And when you're a kid, and especially with discrimination when you're young, but I remember when we started going to school, no one would look at us, no one would play with us. It didn't bother my older brothers, but I was at that age where I felt different. Do you understand me? And I couldn't figure this out. Like, what's so wrong, you know? I remember the boys would be kicking ball in the street, and I would go to play, and everyone would be taken away. And I'd be standing there wondering, why, what's after happening?
Born in the middle of the afternoon in a horse-drawn carriage on the old A5. The big 12-wheeler shook my bed. You can't stay here, the policeman said. You'd better get born in someplace else. Move along, get along, go. Move, shift. Born in a common by a building site, where the ground was rutted with the trail of wheels. The local Christian said to me, you lower the price of property. You'd better get born in someplace else. Move along, get along, go. Move, shift. Born at the date of picking time, in an old but tent by a tatty field. The farmer said, the work's all done, it's time that you was moving on. You'd better get born in someplace else. Move along, get along, go. Move, shift. Born at the back of a horse.
Ireland is what we are, you know. I mean, we're Irish. And we never lost our wildness. It might be hidden away with education, but trust me, you know, we still all have that wildness. But the travelling people possess it more. They've never lost it. Because we'll rebel against something that we don't like. We'll say, ah, jeez, I don't like that, you know. And we're not afraid of the cops. We've been fighting police and fighting army since I remember when they used to come up years ago as kids and they'd shoot the horses. The farmers would actually shoot the fucking horses. I remember the horses screaming, you know, at night. And my father running us through fields and hiding us in ditches and things. It was very small. And he'd say, shh, don't say nothing. And he'd strip to the waist. And he'd get a big stick. And he'd run down to the middle of the road to defend them because these bastards would be drunk. And many a time there was a battle there. But there was nothing said about it the next day, you know. And they'd never camp there again, you know.
Move along, get along, go, move, shift. Move along, get along, go, move, shift. Move along, get along, go, move, shift.
I think a lot is made of the fact that the music transcended prejudices. You could argue at some stages that all that the music did was to make some travellers more acceptable to a settled community. But I think that the prejudice against travellers in Irish society, particularly since the foundation of the state, there's no provision or no mention made of travellers, and travellers suffered as a consequence. So I think when I haven't seen any evidence that because of travellers' musical contribution to our culture, that the lot of travellers has bettered. I'm sorry to say that, but I find evidence to the contrary, in that those who should have known better, and who certainly did know better, deliberately ignored the story of travellers and people like Johnny Dorn, Felix Dorn. And I know, and I wouldn't mention names, but I know that some traveller families, while engaged in music, were offered healthy respect, but as soon as the instruments were put away, were treated like second-class citizens.
Helen O'Sullivan is a young traveller living in County Cork. She works in the area of mental health and thinks that, unlike Kelly in The Voice, lots of travellers hide their identity.
Without mentioning names, there would have been a lot that I would have known anyway that were very successful, did really well. And then when it came to, I suppose, more of their background being looked into by the media and it was discovered that they were travellers, it was proven that that did affect their career negatively. So I do think it prevented other people, also without mentioning names, when they start going after their careers, music careers, they held back that, you know, that they were travellers and are still to this day holding back that they're travellers. And that's not just in music. I mean, we've doctors, you know, we have teachers, we've barristers, in all walks working, and they're travellers. And in a lot of cases, they hold back that they are because they're afraid it might affect how, you know, their career goes. So it is very sad. But like I said, maybe Kelly has kind of opened a gate now and people may say, look, Ireland's becoming more acceptable of travellers. We're in the media a lot more now than we used to be. Okay, a lot of it would be negative, but I think for Kelly, it's very positive. And it's about time now we start getting more people like Kelly portrayed in the media. You know, there's travellers doing amazing things out there.
This is who we are, like, we can't change the fact that we are, and I'm proud of who I am, thank God, you know what I mean? And, like, where I come from now, even from I get on so well with the settled community, thank God. I'll mix with anybody. It could be a black stranger outside. I walk outside, and if I see them, if I think they're a nice person, I go have a conversation with them. Like, everyone's human. We all came from the same place. We all, like, everyone eats the same way. Everyone goes to the toilet the same way. Everyone does everything the same way, like, so everyone's the same in my eyes. Just the community, like, we have our own different ways, maybe, but we're all human beings. We all came from God, like, you know what I mean? So they need to understand, like, that we are normal. We have to make a life for ourselves too. Same way everyone else has to make a life for ourselves, we have to make a life for ourselves and make a career for ourselves. You get what I mean? So it's, I don't know.
Like Kelly, Carlo girl Selena O'Leary is making a career for herself in the singing industry. And not just in Ireland. She sang in Carnegie Hall and is just back from recording and performing in London and Paris. And while she sees the changes in the travelling way of life, she still believes that identity sets them apart.
People say that to me all the time, like, Selena, like, you're not really a traveller, you're a settled traveller. Like, you're settled, you're in a house, like, even my friends, I never forget, because I always lived in a house most of my life. I say about 2 years of my life was in a mobile, like, I couldn't imagine actually being out in a caravan or whatever, like, but they always used to tell me, Selena, like, you're not really a traveller, like, you're settled. But I don't think they actually understood that, no matter if I was living in a helicopter, like, in the sky, I'm still a traveller. And no, I don't think many people, it's very hard to explain the travelling community and the way we believe. It's our life, it's just so strange. And people sometimes do not get it. Some people do, like. But, like, the beliefs we have, like, and the way we talk and the way we communicate with each other, it's unbelievable, really, like. There's always a part of us that we'll, for me personally, there's always a part of us we'll always end up pulling back. Not obviously bad, but it's just, I don't know, it's just, I find that we hold back a little bit, like, always.
I prefer the traveller side of life all the time, although I don't travel, but I still think like a traveller, you know, and I still feel more comfortable when I sit down among my own people, you know, people I grew up with. I have great pals in Ballyfermot, fellas I went to school with, and great lads that worked with us as roadies and, you know, sound technicians and everything. But there's just something about when I sit down beside Paddy Keenan or Johnny Rooney or Mickey Dunn, you know, or I need the girls, you know. It's just like you coming home to Ireland and talking to people that can understand you. Because we've different ways, you know.
I'm a freeborn man of the travelling people. Got no fixed abode, with nomads I am numbered. Country lanes and byways were always my ways. I've never fancied being long.
I think we're indebted to people, particularly Christy Moore, who brought into the his own songs that he collected from travellers, and he openly and honestly said that they came from travellers, and he revered the sources. And just like my own introduction to Irish traditional music through the Dubliners, my own awareness of travellers and traveller song came from well-known figures like Christy and like Luke Kelly and Ewan McCall, and singing songs. I know when you go back and revisit, you know, Freeborn Man of the Travelling People, you can see rose-tinted glasses. And, you know, and I suppose coming for where I have been, you know, studying and staying with travellers and knowing a little bit more about the hardships of that life, you revisit the song and say, well, song was a very idealized form of the story, but nonetheless that works, you know, because if it served to call my attention to the story and to the plight of travelers, I think we're indebted to those for helping to draw attention and continue to remind us of the indebtedness that we have to travelers. That's a good thing, and I welcome it.
Well, days on the road are fewer, and as Kathleen Keenan said, it's hard to beat the four walls of a house in winter. So how has the change in their way of living changed their music?
When we were in the site, everyone got together and used to sing a song. You just light the fire, you sit around the fire and sing songs. But when you come into the house, you're not allowed to do that. You can't go out in the middle of the green now and light a big fire and that. But when you're in your own place, like a site with a lot of other travellers, no one really cares. That's all they want, like, is a good fire and a good campfire around the place. Everyone is singing and dancing and enjoying herself. So it's something like that I'd love to do again. Like,
I would say that my father really never settled at all, even though he was in the house for a good few years before he died. He died in the 70s. But I don't think he ever settled there at all. I thought he missed that kind of a life, you know. But if you just imagine just for 1 minute what it was like. I go back every year to Milltown Malbet, to Willie Clancy School, you know, I go back there, and I always go to where Johnny Doran used to park his wagon. Used to park outside Quilty. And I'd sit there for a few minutes and I'd wonder, jeez, imagine that life. The man was years ahead of his time. He had no worries, he had no mortgage, no, all he had to look after was his family.
Yeah. Will you do the original key in that, yeah?
Yeah, but just kind of don't go as fast as she's going in it, yeah?
Just give me a feel for what way you're going to sing it, I mean.
Mm-hmm. I heard that you settled down, that you found a girl. Maybe my too low. She's started higher, does she?
Selena O'Leary's music is a little more contemporary, but she hasn't lost her love of traditional songs.
They're very important, like, to be honest. Because I think, like, Mexfordtown, for instance, Tinker's Lullaby Boy, or Sullivan's John, like, them songs for me, like, they're years out, you know. And like, they kind of teach you a little bit about travellers. Like Wexfordtown is about the wagons, like, and travelling on the road and how hard of a life. Do you mean that's, it's learning the travellers, it's learning basically anyone that hears it, like, about the travellers. So I think it means an awful lot that, I don't know, it just keeps, I think it kind of keeps the travellers tradition alive.
People there misunderstood, for they did not know our ways. So it horse and cart back on the road, I began my travelling days.
My father was called the Fiddler Don, and I'm a fiddler too. Although I often felt his fist, oh, he taught me all he knew. I know I'll never be as good, and yet I feel no shame for the other things my father taught. I am
just like Selena is drawn back, so too is X Factor winner and traveller Shane Ward from Manchester, who I managed to get on the phone while he was taking a break and recording. He told me about his appreciation of Irish music.
I love Irish music and country music, and it's and the fact also that, you know, to find out that I could sing, you know, at an early age was brilliant, because, you know, I'd be singing along to these songs, and, you know, that's more or less what's on my iPod, you know, it's or iPhone as it is now. You'd probably think I was about 60, 70 years old with the type of songs that I have in there, you know, anything from Kenny Rogers to Patrick Cline. You know, obviously from the Dubliners, you know, to the Furies. Just, you know, I'm really pleased that I was brought up to me, which is the best music.
And his love for Finbar Fury.
The Furies was massive in my childhood, and especially in Sweet 16. And I was doing my up close and personal tour over in Ireland, and I can't honestly remember just how we got in contact, but he ended up coming on stage and we performed Sweet 16 together, and I was in complete awe. And then from that, literally my last night before I finished off my tour in Ireland, I actually went into the studio and recorded a track called Rivers of Steel with Finbar. So that was an experience as well. It was incredible. Beyond the world,
for my soul, you've bled your own. Thank me for being your son.
And mother, please, please forgive them for what they say I've done. And the sun won't ever shine no more on this dark side.
The landscape has surely changed for travellers, but their love and passion for music remains one of the few things that isn't changing. And even though it's taken more of a contemporary turn, the tradition is never far from the surface.
Travelling style is like a wheel. It doesn't stop. It's like, I can't describe it, you know, it's a groove, you know.
People says, you know, a traveller's voice. And we sing, I think there's so much history with us. And I think we have this thing about us that we sing from basically from the pit of our stomachs. Like, we're going to sing like we mean it, like, because we have issues, like, we have, like, been through a lot, like, God help us, the poor travellers, like, but do you know what we do when we sing sometimes with a lot of feeling, like.
You will never again see a barrel top wagon in Ireland, never again. You will never see the likes of Pecker Dunne or Maggie Barry. And that's sad in a way, because Johnny Dunne and Felix Dunne, they've left a style of playing, Catherine, that's gorgeous. It's wild, it's vivacious, it's hopping, it's bouncing, it's lively. And also then when they wanted to do it, they would play slow airs and they would play music that would make you cry.
To quote Piper Martin Nolan, traveller music is like a road itself. There are many twists and turns, byways and highways. And that spontaneity is inherent in the music and songs of travellers. Thankfully, there are families like the Keenans, the Rooneys, and many more keeping the tradition alive. And with the likes of 12-year-old Davy Keenan having recently released his first album, I think we can be assured that their music will be around for years to come.
I was born a tinker, I'll tell you no lies. A tinker I lived and a tinker I'll die. Lord made me a tinker, I'm proud of me name. Me father grew pudgin on Bessie's best range, thank you. When I was 12, to me he did say, thank you. Well, son, you'll be and his plate to be seen. It's time I taught you to make the pudgin.
The Music Passport was presented by Catherine Thomas and produced by Elizabeth Larrigy.